The Business on RTE Radio 1 with AIB. Whatever stage your business is at, there's always time to imagine sustainable, positive change. AIB, for the life you're after.
Now, have a listen to this. US President Donald Trump raising eyebrows this week when he said to a female news reporter, "Quiet piggy." Do women really still get called names in the workplace? And are women still at the receiving end of that a lot more? Have things gotten better or worse? Joining me now is leadership consultant Margaret E. Ward. Margaret, you're very welcome to the programme. That particular exchange, although it was a kind of a one-sided exchange, to use that word, he's used that word before, hasn't he?
He uses it all the time. I mean, he's used it as far back as the 80s for women that he didn't like or who criticised him. It just seems to be his go-to. I think he also used it for a teenage Miss America pageant candidate, a teenager.
And a lot of people, when you think about it and you translate that kind of language or versions of that or an attitude perhaps that it reflects into the workplace, a lot of people might find they wouldn't be surprised that something like that could happen, but they might be surprised at the idea that it's very prevalent today.
Yes, unfortunately it is. So if you even look at, say, Workplace Relation Commission reports or the Labor Commission, and you see the type of complaints that come in, you'd see, for example, young women being asked about their intimate lives by male co-workers and things like that. So name calling is one part of it, but then there is that kind of invasive behavior. There can be things like touching. But the thing that happens more is women being dismissed, talked over, talked down to, not taken seriously, excluded from conversations. It's very prevalent, unfortunately, still in the workplace. So it can be very direct in terms of name calling, or it can be a little more subtle.
That sounds kind of all very 1980s somehow.
You'd think.
In relation to it.
But
an interesting survey, 2024, a Web Summit survey of 1,000 women working in the technology sector, found that half reported experiencing sexism in the workplace over the previous year. But I think in many cases there, it was described that they cited unconscious gender bias. In an organisation, how do you tackle unconscious gender bias?
Yeah, it's such an interesting thing, right? So if we think about the workplace is just a reflection of the society in which it's operating, right? So we have gender norms, and women are only kind of new to the workplace, right? So if you think about it, my mother did not work once she had children. Most people's mothers my age didn't, okay? So women are only really in the workforce in numbers in the last, say, 20 or 30 years. There's been a huge amount of research on this as well, showing the unconscious bias. So it's kind of like you're used to a certain thing and new people who are different from you come into it. And it's a bit confusing, probably, okay? But you would think at this stage that it would be more acceptable. Well, a woman and a man, whatever, they do the same job, they should be treated the same. But that unconscious bias is still there. So how do we tackle it? We talk about it. You say things like, "I'm really not uncomfortable. I'm really uncomfortable with you saying that to me." Or you get your colleagues to say, "You really shouldn't have said that to her. You know, you're making her feel anxious or excluded, or that was very aggressive."
So that sets a different tone,
yes,
which can in turn perhaps influence the not just the atmosphere, but the culture of an organization.
Yeah. And if we think about, you know, if people like going into work, they're more productive. They're happier. They want to come into work. They're better employees. They're better colleagues. They're in better humor, right? So from a business point of view, it just makes sense for you to have a culture that includes everybody, where everybody feels valued and heard, that there isn't a subset that is talked down to or excluded. I mean, what is extraordinary to me about sexism is it seems to be the last place where it's acceptable. Right. So if we had a workplace where everybody was making homophobic slurs or, you know, saying horribly racist things or anti-Semitic things, I mean, they would be marched off to HR. But sexism, it doesn't seem to be the case.
You mentioned there that perhaps in an organization, it can reflect what's going on in the wider society. You were writing in the Irish Times this morning where you talked about the United States and how younger women aged between 15 and 44, 40% of them said they want to leave.
Yeah, it's shocking, but not surprising, or surprising, but not shocking. So it's a Gallup poll saying that 4 in 10 American women would not like just to leave, but to leave the United States permanently.
Now,
permanently.
I'm sure many of them, it won't materialize in that way, but it expresses a state of mind as to how they feel about what's going on right now. And what about men of a similar age? How does that compare?
It's about 19%. 19% of men say they would like to leave the United States permanently, and 40% of women. And what was interesting, it wasn't just single women or married women or women with children or without children. It was all women. So it was between 40 to 44%. So it just shows you the coarsening of the culture in the United States, where women feel excluded or unsafe. A lot of this is women feeling unsafe. They've also been pushed out of the workforce. Over half a million women have been, almost half a million, have been pushed out of the workforce in the United States since January.
So that poll reflects some of what's going on there and how they feel about it. Margaret E. Ward, a leadership consultant, thank you very much for joining us on the program.